This is the Fisher Body Historical Team. We're at the local 602 Union Hall. It is Tuesday, September 6th, 2005. This is Linda Johnson speaking, and we are interviewing Dorothy Stevens today. And who's present in this room today?
John Fedewa.
Kathy Berry.
Cheryl McCoy.
Josephine Martinez.
Michael Fleming.
Marilyn Coulter.
Doreen Howard.
Dorothy.
Dorothy Stevens.
How do you spell Dorothy Stevens?
D-O-R-O-T-H-Y with Stevens with a B.
Thank you. Dorothy, can you tell me what your seniority date was when you were?
12/30/52.
52. And how long did you work for Fisher Body?
Till 84. Actually, I went out in April when they went on layoff. But they put us on layoff until contract, and I think it was October of 84, ended up.
You had a long and exciting career with General Motors. You've done a lot for women in the plant, and I would like you to tell us what it was like, where you hired in at, where you went to work at, and what it was like for women in the plant at that time in the beginning.
Well, when we walked through the double doors, they called the cushion room Little Siberia. Back then, we were separate. There was an alley between us and the body shop and the rest of the plant. We used air guns, and back then you had springs in your seats, and we called them the S springs, and we called it zigzag. You had these big air guns, and you clip the springs together, making the springs, you know. We used to cut off socks. Cut the toes and the heels off, and I'm going to put them up our arms to keep our arms from getting cut and scratched. And
wow.
Oh, yeah, plus our gloves we wore. It was oily because those springs were all greasy. Women didn't do pad-up then. Pad-up paid a little bit more an hour. The men had those jobs, as they did all the trim jobs back then. Women just had zigzag.
Did you make as much as men back then?
Nope. We were on the zigzag. That was low pay. Then when they got 63 A and B in the contract, guess who fought? I begged them to go with me, but I was the rotten apple in the basket. But I got on trim job, and I built center arms. But that wasn't even fair because I was on front seat center arms, and there were about four or five on rear, all alone. And there were four or five men on rear seat center arms. And those guys were trading off and clocking each other out and going home at noon. And here I am slaving away with a 78. I mean, that's woman. Then women got to go on trim later on. There again, I fought that. They weren't going to let me have it. And then they put me on the worst job there was. Took away the stuff and iron because those... leather covers, the guys had stuffing irons, you know, and they could stuff them out the corners.
So you're stuffing the arm?
No, breast? I had to pull that baby down for all it was worth because I couldn't have a stuffing iron. They were going to show me, Ben, that I had taken a man's job. And from then on, I went on committee, took another man's job.
What year did you go on committee?
I'm trying to think, 57 maybe.
So that was pretty gutsy, only 5 years into the plant, and you're...
It's going on probably pretty close to six, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In fact, the guy that I took out said, well, in 6 months you'll have everything such a mess, you'll be glad to have me back. I got reelected. No hands down. He quit. I'm trying to think, Roy Killinger, I think was the name. Anyways, girls didn't have it too good. We had to go clear upstairs to the restrooms. The men were right down off cushion room.
Mm-hmm.
Not ours, though. We had to go clear upstairs. We were not allowed any more time than they were, if as much. And, of course, back in early days, you weren't given a specific time. You called. Sometimes you got a relief. Sometimes you didn't. Oh, no. You didn't always get a relief back then. You asked for a relief, and you got put on a list, maybe. Maybe you got one, and maybe you didn't.
Were there a lot of women in the cushion room?
That was most predominantly.
Women.
Well, no, we had men on trim jobs, but it was predominantly women, all women on zigzag.
And your supervisors, were they women also?
No, we didn't have any women supervisors. Not such a thing was heard of. And me being a committee person was a woman not heard of. Mm-hmm.
And so how long were you on committee until?
I put one term on. I finished out a term, and I did one term, then I went off, and then I went back out. I didn't want to, but then they begged me, and so I said, okay. But I was working for Charlie Socher, and most people know Charlie Socher that was ever in that plant very long. Even supervision didn't like him. He was a wicked man. And the guys come up to me, and I just said, hey, you guys will have to do it for me, because he's not going to give me any time. But when I come through and won, he came up and asked me if I wanted the night off. And I told him, no, thank you. I'll keep working.
What years were your terms then, Dorothy?
They were 3-year terms back then, but I, see, Fletcher went on a sick leave, so it was partial term, and then I did a 3-year term.
What year, what or time frame are we talking about? About, just around about.
I'm saying 57.
Okay. That's when your first term around 57.
Right.
We know, when we talk about no women as supervisors. And,
no.
And, certainly no women as committee people.
Well, they took me in the office, you know. Asked me, they were thinking about putting women on. Johnny Walker come and got me and took me down. And here was all the big stuffed shirts sitting around. And I walked in and I thought, boy, what did I do now? They asked me, would I consider that they were considering putting some women on? You don't want to know what I told them.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't want it on record.
Oh, okay.
I'll tell you what I said. I fought you bastards all these years. There ain't no damn way I'd join you now. They said, go on back to work.
Dorothy, around what year did they start getting women supervisors on the line?
I'm going to say in the 60s, early 60s, they would put them on, but, you know, they didn't last. I remember Anna Mae McDonald. Was that her name, McDonald? Anna Mae, she didn't last long. It was too strenuous. I mean, if you were a worker, you had the union to back you. But if you were management, you had nobody to back you. The upper management gave the orders, and you took it. So you were catching it from both ends. It was very stressful for those women.
I just got to go back to when you said they didn't get breaks. When did you guys start getting breaks? When did we start getting breaks in the plant?
And what were the consequences for those that you said they didn't get
we
breaks?
We did not have a closed plant when I hired in. Not everybody had to join the union. And you had 90 days to join it. Well, I joined mine day one, but I worked with people who did not. Once they put that in, and I'm going to say it was the next negotiations, I believe, but we had what you called, if they boosted the line up one job an hour or three jobs an hour, they had to add so much manpower. We had that agreement on that. Okay, but when they went in for a closed shop, they gave that away. So, and I can't tell you, I'm going to say, roughly speaking, 55 before we had regular relief periods.
What was the consequence, Dorothy, for those that just didn't get their break and just had to go when they went ahead?
3 days off.
Yeah, so they had to suffer.
Out the door, that's right. Okay. Out the door.
Have you seen very many people get the 3 days off, Dorothy?
Fight it.
Pardon?
Well, in the cushion room, we took care of each other.
Okay.
If they picked on this guy here, let me tell you, that foreman, he might just well hang it up. Because nothing went down that off that line that didn't have to go in the scrap pile.
Sure.
Nothing. But you don't have that today. Because it's each man for themselves. But I can remember, we had to work half a day before Christmas, on Christmas Eve, and a half a day New Year's. And they let us come in New Year's Day. I'll never forget it. We could come in and work our 4 hours, and they brought us in the morning, and nobody had been to bed the night before. Now, why? But actually, that was the contract. We had to High old time. Now, but it was just the idea that we were supposed to come in and come to work. And if you didn't show up for work, you were not paid for the holiday.
Mm-hmm. Talk about your subculture, Dorothy, that the people that you worked around, as well as departments that were close to you, and your holidays and your parties and your get-togethers and those types of things.
We did not have get-togethers. Well, at that time, we worked 3 weeks days, 3 weeks nights. You know, we had swing shift. You kind of ate your lunch with somebody, and that was about as good as you got. Because most of us had families. There wasn't much outside activities.
How long did it take before that subculture built where you began to have those types of things and see those things in the plant?
Oh, I think Bob Summers was president. We had a picnic. We had it in this parking lot.
Like a union picnic? Summer union picnic?
Yeah. First one was right here in this parking lot. We had corn on the cob and chicken and kegs of beer. In fact, RT can probably tell you how we ran out of beer and I ran down to the Quality Dairy and got another keg and was driving down Saginaw with no lights on. Hurrying back to get the beer for the people.
And that was in the 70s, right?
That was in the 70s.
Because I remember.
Ralph Morrison, I think, had charge of the... Yeah, so we went a lot of years.
That's a long time.
Yeah. Yes, it was. Long time. When they started... Actually, when Cushion Room... We were very close-knit, all of us. Like I said. When they took the Cushion Room out and moved part of it over to the Olds, and now that was in the 80s, or that latter part of 70s. And that's where we all separated, and then it was never the same. It was, watch yourself.
So where did you go after you left the Cushion Room again?
Where did I go? I was on committee.
And so when you were on committee, you represented what group?
Cushion Room, and then when I went on top committee, I was on zone.
Okay, so when they went...
Well, part of them stayed, and they were upstairs in what I believe was hardware then.
Mm-hmm. Hard trim. Mm-hmm.
I don't remember. It's been a long time. But it was upstairs. No. Part of the cushion stayed over at Fisher. But then the rest went the Olds.
And so you represented the people that...
Yeah. Well, I was on top committee when they... I was on top committee when they went. Mm-hmm. So that was in the 80s.
Outside of yourself, was there any other women who were on committee?
Alma Rose was an alternate committee person for one term. Mm-hmm.
But outside of that, it was you?
Just me that I know of. Well, didn't George Yonke and Paint go on... committee at a later date? I think at a later...
During your time, it was you, primarily.
It was what?
During your time when you served...
I was on zone, I think, when Georgia went on committee in the paint department, Georgia Yonke. Other than that, I know of no woman on committee other than...
How was that being a woman with a union leadership position?
It wasn't bad when you're on committee. You proved yourself to your general foreman in that. But when you went on zone, you didn't only fight management, you fought your union for the first 6 months. I had invaded what was predominantly a man's job. And I got phone calls.
Really?
Oh, yes. And then, of course, they took me and said, oh, we want you. They wanted me to run for financial secretary. Said I was the only one that could take it away from Ron Davis. Well, that's not what I wanted. Well, we'll get you in bargaining. Well, come on. No, financial secretary does not get in bargaining. I used to tell management, you give them everything they got and that much more, and I'm not going to bother you. And I remember Rocky Wright said, Dorothy, if I give you that much, you're going to want that much. And I said, I promise you, Rocky, everything they got coming, everything, that much more. I won't bother.
They just give him an inch more, but he knew you wanted a mile more.
Huh? No, no, I was fair with him.
What things did you bargain for, Dorothy, that you're most proud of?
Number one, the truck drivers out there in Plant 40. Now, when they were driving their trucks over to the Olds, the day shift, that sun glared right off their hoods, okay? Well, we got them this non-glare paint around the hoods. They got Bostrom seats. Then also Al Moon out in the powerhouse, water, whatever, had to go up those steps to get that stuff and dump it in those tanks. He worked the third shift. In the wintertime, it was icy, whatever. So they got a lift that carried that up so he didn't have to. Nobody was out there. If the man had fallen, nobody knew until the next morning. Those things I really went hard for. Mm-hmm. I guess I'd give my right arm to give them to them. Mm-hmm. They needed them.
Yeah.
And I rode with those truck drivers back and forth over to the Olds. Now, on the night shift, it was coming back to Fisher that it glared. Mm-hmm.
Yep. You mentioned 63A and B. You had a hand in that. Would you talk about that, please?
Well, that's where they give people the right to transfer. And I was the first woman to take it. I begged some of the others. But it made me the rotten apple in the basket. I had to go it alone. But then I had a lot of followers that wanted my job afterwards.
The PPE, we call it personal protective equipment. You mentioned that you cut socks off.
Yes.
And to use around your arms. How long did it take before you all were issued personal protective?
We were not. In fact, we had a strike because they weren't giving us gloves over there. We had a strike. Pelkey laid down in front of the truck, and, truck drivers drove right over us.
Wow.
That's right. They weren't cushioning them.
So was this a wildcat strike, or was it a
It kind of was. It was kind of was. I was in two of them. One was because they didn't furnish us gloves in the old cushion room. We were cutting our hands. We were a mess. And it is bad enough to get a hog ring run through you. I've got scars where I've been clipped with a hog ring. The glove didn't protect that, but all the cuts and everything. So we were out. Okay. I'm trying to think of the guy's name that came out, and he said, if you'd asked me at 5 o'clock tonight if the cushion room had any problems, he said, I'd have said no, and that's because I just looked at him and I said, that's because you don't know. You're in your ivory tower. And then Lloyd Kane and all of them had to call us over to the Union Hall, and this is what upset. Now, this was before I went on committee, and Lloyd Kane made a statement. Well, I make a motion you put Dorothy Stevens on the bargaining committee. And everybody said, yeah. Lloyd apologized to me later. I went on committee after that. Okay. Now, the next wildcat we had was they moved us into the new building. We had no drinking fountains, no restroom. We had to go to clear to Building 5 for restrooms. Hot. Oh, it was so hot. And so we had a Blue Monday.
And what was a Blue Monday?
That was a Blue Monday. We all got time off.
What's a Blue Monday? Tell her.
We all stayed home.
Mm-hmm.
We called it Blue Monday. Now, we had enough in there. In fact, those that had anything on their record,
You stay.
Tell us what goes on. Management run the cushion room that night, what little bit it did. Okay? And the sad part was they never could figure out how, because there was part of the cushion room that was still over in the old building and then part of us in the new, and the old building went with us too. And they never could figure out. Gene O'Connor came in from Detroit. I got the third degree. They took me down first day I walked in. Then they interviewed a couple of people after me, took me back. And for one solid week, every day, I was spent my time in the office. And then they brought Gene O'Connor. I'll never forget when they brought Gene from Detroit. And he says to me, Dorothy, I know damn good and well you're the one that set it up, but I can't prove it. I said, I don't know what you're talking about. We got fans. We got a restroom. Took time, but we got them. No, they were not fair to us. And when we had the walkout, I'll tell you what, on the gloves, there were people, well, standing at the body shop door, and they had a chain that they were all going to go out with us, you know, in sympathy. Well, my 90 days was on condition. There were no further demonstrations in this plant, or you're fired. Okay. So when I walked out, I'll never forget, Tater Adams was one of them. And I can't tell you who the other plant protection was. But I said, please, can I take me on the outside aisle? And the other said, no, we got to take you up the middle. And I said, Tate, please take me over to the outside aisle. So he got him to take me over. And I said, 90 days, no further demonstrations. Call it off. The way I went up the aisle with them, one on each side. And then they took up collections. They were bringing me a paycheck that was more than if I'd have stayed in there and worked. Every week, those people that was in the plant was taking up a collection. Alice Brown brought it to me. And it made Dyer so mad, he said, bring her back to work. She'd make more money out there than she is in here. And he did. He brought me back to work. But I went out Halloween. Uh-huh. I'll never forget it. And I was back November. Oh, wow. Couldn't stand it. But we stuck up for each other.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Everybody stuck up for each other back then. And you don't have that today. Mm-hmm. And when we split the cushion room and part went the olds and it started... That's when you lost it. It started going.
What about your first day of work, Dorothy? What did you do?
My first day of work, I walked through those double doors. Now, I was out of an office. Ugh, it stunk. It was dirty. It was noisy. And I looked up and I said, boy, I'm only going to be here a couple of years, I'll tell you that. 32 years later. No, it was, I'd never been in a factory. You know, I worked for State Highway Department, and we kind of had it made. It was not too long after that that guy messed up the state building, the old state building. But I worked up there for Firmadig and Highway Commissioner Harry T. Coombs and Ziegler.
So what was your very first job? What did they have to do?
Zigzag, one of those things that I couldn't get my hand around it. And it was air gun, and you got clips, and you got to put the springs together and clip it together.
So did you make a better wage here than you did at the...
Not...
Why did you come here?
Because it cost everything I had to dress there, and I had three kids.
Okay.
And here you went in jeans and a little Dan River balls. Blue jeans and a ribbon. Mm-hmm. Plus, now we paid part of our... Blue Cross insurance back then.
Mm-hmm. Here? Or there?
Fisher, yes, Fisher? We did. Yes, well, you didn't have that. Mm-hmm. It stayed. No, we had to pay. I think it was... I was looking for one of the older paychecks, but I think it was like almost $4 a month that we had to pay for our Blue Cross. We paid part of it. And we didn't have 40-hour week. I can remember when the F-85 line went down. We worked many four-hour days, got 20 hours pay at the end of the week. Back then also, if you missed a day in the week and didn't have your 40 hours, you worked Saturday for straight time. Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
And so your time and a half was all over 40.
You had to work, no. You had to work your 5 days. There was something in there that if they sent you home, line time or whatever, eight or less than your 8 hours one day of the week, you come in on Saturday, you still got time and a half. But they used to bring us in time and time again for 4 stinking hours on Saturday because they'd work us 10 hours a day and women couldn't go over 54 hours a week.
The men, though,
the men could, yes, but...
they were doing 7 days, were they?
No, but they worked from, say, the night shift would go in at 5, and they'd still be there 5 in the morning lots of times. Repairmen especially.
So they're doing 6 days, 12 hours a day.
Well, then you'd have to work your half day on Saturday.
Do you know how many people worked in the plant?
Back then, there was over 5,000.
Back in the 50s and 60s?
Yeah, we had about 5,200, didn't we? I'm thinking it was around 5,200 people.
You had more jobs that required more people.
Well, it was all. Nothing was robot. You know, the body shop didn't have robots. It was all. Everything was done by person.
When did they bring in, like, material trucks instead of pushing?
Oh, that was late. I don't really know. Kenny Williams could probably tell you what time they brought those in, because he had material.
Do you recall how you punched in to come to work in the morning or in the evening?
You had a card and a clock.
Clock.
Yep. On the wall. Got your card out of the rack and put it over here.
Did you have the badges too?
Yes, we did. I got a little round one. It was given to me. We had to turn them in when we retired, and I made the mistake of turning mine in, but I was given a badge. It's got the coach on it, and it's around fish body. That tells what my number was. It was 348 on my check, I think. Yep, 348, my badge number.
Do you recall what you started out at?
Yes. $1.72 an hour.
When you retired, what was your wage?
That was an 84.10 something.
A long ways, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. 10 something. But we had paid absence allowance.
And that was what?
40 hours a week. You people don't have that. But we didn't have the buy-in on the stock that you have. Of course, we did get dental and eyeglass later on, but not for many years. And when my children were going to the dentist, I didn't have dental.
Do you have a favorite memory from the plant?
Yeah. When we built Annie Oakley's Chevrolet convertible, it was powder blue and white leather seats.
What year was that? Do you remember?
My God, 53, 54. We had Chevys then.
So that's the Annie Oakley you guys built?
Annie Oakley, we built a car for her, and it was powder blue. It was a Chevrolet convertible.
Was that a special color then?
Yes. Okay. No other car could down.
No.
But we put first the bodies, and then we had white leather seats in that, and that was Annie Oakley, and I thought, wow.
Yeah.
Other than that, you know, it's just everyday run of the mill.
What types of vehicles did you drive back then, Dora?
98 olds. Well, I started out with Pontiac. I'll take that back. I started out with a Pontiac. But we built Chevys. We lost Chevys. Then they lost the Pontiac, and we had the F-85, and that went down to one shift. And then it was the olds and didn't, I'm not sure, but I don't think we got back. I know we didn't get back the Chevy. But the 98 olds was always our bread and butter.
Now, when you first started here, we shipped cars other places than over to our sister plant at Oldsmobile, didn't we? You sent cars
I don't know.
To Flint.
I don't know.
You don't know.
Mm-mm. Okay. All I know is we built Annie Oakley's car. Everybody wanted to have their picture taken. Here it is, just the body in the seats, and you know, before it went to the olds, and they wouldn't let us. But everybody wanted their picture taken in.
And you have a favorite local memory? Was the local always here, or did you have a different?
Oh, it was down in a house down on Olds Avenue before we built this.
Okay.
And then they sold bricks. We paid $5 for a brick, which back then $5 was a lot of money. I mean, a lot more than, well, like you said, when I retired, it was $4.79 an hour. I mean, no, this back in 72 was $4.79. But I'm trying to think of his name that started our credit union, too. That was in a house down there on Olds Avenue. Toomey, he's passed on now. But he started our credit union, and that was out of a house down there. Yeah, we used to go to union meeting in the house off Olds Avenue there.
Okay. So this was built around...
Yeah,
we're going to take a break right now?
Just hold on a second.
You can leave, Cheryl. Now tell us about the first paying for the new union hall and your paying union dues.
Well, they took union dues out of our pay. And in fact, yeah, it shows in 72, but when we were without a contract, they didn't take our union dues. So they had appointed people, and that was committee man, and I think I was on trustee then, that went around and collected people's dues. And then we had to turn them in here to the hall. Now, the hall was built... 55,
okay.
54, I don't know, early anyways. Mm-hmm. But it was so nice to have this hall other than that house over there. But we bought bricks and they were $5.
Mm-hmm. So did we hire somebody to build this or did we do it ourselves? I don't know.
I was pretty new then. I would imagine they hired somebody. I do know that this is the only union hall in Lansing that's owned, that we own our own hall.
Hmm.
All other union halls are owned by the International.
No.
And we want to do the same on the new one.
Exactly.
The credit union, you said the guy started a credit union.
Mm-hmm.
Right there at the old union hall. He was right over there by there. What was his name and what was the credit
union? Toomey. His name was Toomey, that we called him. And his wife, I can see her. She wore her hair pulled back and a bun in the back.
What was the name of the credit union?
Was the name of what?
The credit union. What was the name of it?
Just Fisher Body's Credit Union.
Fisher Body Credit Union?
That's all we ever knew. But, you know, you started out... And I started out having $5 a week taken out. Well, then every time I got a raise, my raise went into it. I don't know as I... Credit union, well, $50 was going in it there. Mm-hmm. Bond, $7.50. Clear back and only making $4.79 an hour, and I was putting $7.50 week in bonds and charity 92 cents and credit union 50. Anyways, did you see how much I took home? For a 49-hour week with 12 and 3-tenths overtime, I took home $153. Well, see, these people today, because you're guaranteed 40 hours, we didn't have that. When the F-85 line went down to one shift, we only worked 4 hours a day. We came in every day and worked 4 hours. We got a whole $20 paid at the end of the week.
So, I guess being union active, and now did we at Fisher Body have like a women's auxiliary that you were involved in, or just or when did
there
those
was a women's
came about?
Women's committee that the International said you had to have, and Vela Nemeth was active. She was the chair of that. And we met at each other's houses, or sometimes we had the hall here on Sunday once a month. We raised money. We used to buy items when Whalen's was over here, and then we'd raffle them off to earn money.
What impact did the Women's Committee have on Lansing General Motors and Local 602?
Well, it was PR. Number one, we bought TVs for the glass house for women. Mm-hmm. 1 year, there's a place over on Willard that children, we gave money and bought some beds and some blankets or something for them.
On Willow?
Willard.
On Willard?
Isn't that a detention home for kids? There used to be.
I know they got St. Vincent's home on Willow
Street.
No,
this was a detention home for kids. Mm-hmm. That got in trouble. It was on Willard Avenue. over by Ingham Medical Hospital. Anyways, we bought blankets and some beds for them 1 year. Another year we took and bought fruit baskets for shut-ins, older shut-ins. But it was just a PR thing. Mm-hmm. As far as being funded, no, it was never funded. I don't think it is today either.
Mm-hmm. So,
it was just a handful of girls. There was about six of us.
What do you think, being that you came in 1952 and left in 84, what do you think made Lansing Fisher Body special apart from other plants?
Dedication to their job.
Dedication?
Yes. We were the quality. In fact, we carried that. Remember how, what was it, the saying?
Capital quality.
And we've had that for years. Mm-hmm. And that was something that most employees looked up to. It was drilled in them, though, and Don Brown can tell you, we all did it. We were told, you committee man, you tell your people out there that, by God, capital quality is what keeps them working. And we believed it.
And that's why no matter what, because we often change different body styles and different body types, yet we still continue to be put out a quality mm-hmm. job. Okay.
Well, it's... You know, stop and think. If we hadn't have had Fisher Body, you know, where would this town be? Mm. MSU can't run it. State workers couldn't run it. Where would we be?
Mm.
Well, you saw Motor Wheel go. Those places. We had a lot of drop forges went. We still went. And quality is the name of the game. The one thing that didn't pan out, and that was that quality of work life, but that was a good concept had it been properly implemented, but it was not properly implemented. You had people that wanted to be controlled, take control of it, that's why. You probably remember that, don't
mm-hmm.
you?
Yes. Can you explain what the quality of work life program is?
What's the quality of work life? Well, how to make it better for each and everybody. And number one, they stressed absenteeism. That was their big goal, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Cut down absenteeism. And yet they didn't want to reward the man back then that came to work every day. And they kept pushing at you that we got this percentage, that blah, blah, blah. And then they condemned the union for representing these people. But we took an oath that we represent it all.
Mm-hmm.
And I know McPherson and...
Russ McPherson.
Russ McPherson.
A little bit.
I got to go pay a penance now.
Oh, okay.
When we come to work, did you have friends that you met here that became lifelong friends?
Yes. Yes, certainly. Well, we spent more hours with them than we did at home that we were, you know, sleeping. Yes, we did.
And today you are the chairman of the retirees?
Yes.
So you have had an active life for the past 20 years since you retired
mm-hmm.
with the union
mm-hmm.
still.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us about your commitment to unionism and your activism in politics?
Well, Linda, everything I have, I owe to my union. And so once you retire, I said I retired, but I didn't quit. I need to give back. I mean, this is my feeling, you give back. They'd have fired me. They'd have loved to fire me because I was verbal. I mean, it didn't matter if it was me. It's that guy out there on the line and they're not treating him right. Then I had to get my mouth going too, and we all come together. Give it all way down the line. Sorry for the poor foreman, but that's his tough luck.
Mm-hmm.
Get off that man's back and you'll get his jobs. That's exactly the way it was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we had little codes that we used to send to each other across the line and that. We knew when you... Okay. Or if somebody that you didn't trust everybody, that meant you didn't talk to them.
If there's one message that you wanted to send to the young workers of today, what would that message be?
Work as a team, work together, look out for your neighbor. Mm-hmm. It's not only you, because you know you can't have all chiefs and no Indians. It's the Indians that do the work. Mm-hmm. Hang together, close. Together you'll stand.
And I know as a retiree's chair, you've often been strongly involved. Have you always been involved in politics, and what part has politics played in your life here?
I was not as strong in politics until I retired, until I saw what it did with retirees' pensions, this sort of thing, what they could lose or what they could gain. Yes, I really became strongly involved once I retired. Well, just before I retired, but I got into it more once I retired. I had more time to get into it. And I still, right now, I protect my retirees, you know that. And I go to bat for them. I wish they didn't think I walked on water so much, because I'd like to sit back and relax. But I can't get nobody to take the job. Even my vice, oh no. I'll stay with you as long as you're on, but mm-mm. Because I thought Mike is younger and, you know, Mike could take on. And he told Kathy, don't do what Dorothy does. But if you do it, well, some of them can irritate you, believe me. But then there's other sweethearts that God love them. Because at times I would get frustrated. And I think, I don't need this. But then you'd have some sweetheart come up and say, well, but if you go, we'll lose our chapter. We need you. So hug them and say, I'll be here.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I've got Edna Neal, 94 years old, that just retired from delivering Meals on Wheels.
You better interview her, huh?
Well, she never worked at the plant. Her husband did.
Okay.
But Edna's, well, whenever you were sick, she made her chicken noodle soup and took to you. She worked for personal needs at the church. Mm-hmm. And she just stopped delivering Meals on Wheels.
Now, did your husband work here?
Yes, he did.
And did you meet your husband here?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, I did.
Well, how did that happen?
Through a friend.
So it was a blind date?
No. We went as a group, which I might just well tell you, after work, I'll turn that off. We all went together and had a few drinks, calmed down.
So you did socialize after work?
With our little packs.
With your little groupies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Betty's gone now. She passed away, but Russ Slack mm-hmm. called me. He couldn't believe it. He stops over to the house every
That's
so
nice.
Often.
Yeah.
Just different ones. We see mm-hmm. George Courtney and his wife Dorothy and I are good friends, close friends.
So was it love at first sight?
No. No. Do you know I went with him almost 6 years? And then when I don't know, because I had my boy. And I just said, well, I got to think about this, because as long as until he's on his own, he'll only come first. And when Mark said, well, that's the only way I'd have it. And, he didn't help me any. I made him wait another 6 months. But he's been good. Mm-hmm. And in fact, my son today, 40 years old, he's first. Yeah.
Now, was your husband as active in the union as you are?
No, but he was a very union-minded person. He was on repair, and he's never been back in the plant, nor would he ever go. And when they used to hand out the little things for 5 years or 10 years or whatever, well, they, when it was time for his watch, they wanted him to go to the office, and he refused. And Jerry Rosenkrantz was his foreman. Finally brought him down a pin. No, sir, he did not. He was very union-minded. But as far as being an activist, Mark is a quiet person. You'd have to be to be mad at me.
They only went chief in the house, right?
No, he supports me all the way. And it's just like me going, and I'm gone all the time. He says, oh, it's good for you, just as long as he's got clean clothes and food in the freezer.
So now, at the time when you were a zone and they had the offside stuff like that, were there many, were you like special for our community, or were there other female zones throughout the nation? Or were you like, when you went to the offside
when
stuff?
When I went to the sub-councils?
Yeah, sub-councils, exactly.
I remember we were at Lordstown, Ohio, and here I am sitting in there. And some guys, big burly guys, walked in and said, what the hell is she doing here? Women aren't allowed. And Brown spoke up and said, she's one of my boys. And everybody looked. And then Red was the president of that, and he said, now, well, everybody watch your language here. And I said, hey, I ask no privileges. And I didn't. And I can remember John Jansen and them when we were in negotiations. And Mary McPherson was in there. Now, you guys got to watch your language here. We got a couple women, and out of whose mouth first came? John Jensen's. We laughed. We still laughed about it.
So that was...
Yeah, I was the only woman. And when I first would go to these sub-council meetings, you know, I mean, there was 5, 6, 7 guys and me. I stayed in my room afterwards, and I'd order in. They'd always call and say, Dorothy, you want, we're going to dinner? And I'd say, no. Well, somebody, or I was talking to my sister one day, and I said I stayed in, because it just didn't look right for one woman with all those men to go out to dinner. She says, what do you care? You don't know nobody. They don't know you. So I started going out with them, and it just got so that it was one of the boys.
How did the community treat you being that way? That being the Fisher Body community treat you? I mean, the UAW community within the plant treat you being the only female out there? Did you get equal
good
respect?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. But you have to earn that respect.
Mm-hmm.
You have to earn it. It's not just handed to you.
So
this is what I tried to portray to, do you remember Debbie McNichols?
Mm-hmm.
She went on committee, and she was going to be out with the truck drivers in Plant 40.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what Debbie came to me and asked me, and this is what I said to Debbie. She had spaghetti straps on. I said, number one, put something on, cover yourself up, because that don't get up.
Mm-hmm.
To flaunt yourself like that does not do bargaining. No way. But she never learned.
So basically, for all women, just be sure you bring your brains in the door, huh?
Well, mm-hmm. Look at me today. I still. Have you ever seen me where I'm? No, never will. Better to keep them guessing than let them know.
As a union official, do you have any words for young people and people that are participate in unions?
Well, don't, what do I want to say? Respect them for what they're doing. They're trying to do you a job and represent you. And you know yourself, you're not always right. But they'll do their best. Give them, you always put the light at the end of the tunnel. I did that for all of my, when they got caught, you know, drinking. We sent them out. Let's put the light at the end of the tunnel. If they take it, then boy, we feel good. If they don't, we gave them that opportunity.
I had another question. Dorothy, given the fact that when you first initially started, at one time there was a split shop and everybody wasn't unionized.
Right.
And at a time when, you know, we're finding ourselves having to start, go out and re-recruit, what do you think is one of the best things to try to use, a tool to try to get people when it comes back to organizing and joining unions again?
The benefits that they're going to derive from this. It's long-term, not just today, future. Their children is going to depend on it. Their grandchildren. I started out, I came from State Highway Department, okay? I had three children. I was alone in the world with three children. Well, it cost you everything you earned. And back then, I used to spend noon hours standing in line for a pair of nylons. I mean, when the highway department, you didn't wear bobby socks. Up in conservation, you could, but not on our floor. Okay, back then you had gabardine, and you had to wear a jacket, suits, not just sweaters, skirts, suits. Well, you're sitting, and the skirt would get shiny. Can't send the skirt without the jacket to the cleaners, and back then my paycheck went for dry cleaning, nylons, and what else. So I came to Fisher Body. Do you know, if I'd have stayed at State, I wouldn't have what I have today. I mean, we came in here, we wore penny loafers, we wore blue jeans and little old Dan River blouse. There were benefits. We had to pay part of our benefits. Yeah, I think it was for our hospitalization, which meant a lot to me for my children. Mm-hmm. We did not have dental then when I started, nor eyeglasses, nor hearing. But those came later. And look at the benefits that they, as a parent, can pass on down to their children that their grandparents weren't able to pass on to them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if they looked at all of it, and, you know, also tell them, look at these poor little independent plants. It still costs the same amount of money for a gallon of gas or a quart of milk or a loaf of bread. And yet, you know, their top pay is, what, $10 to $11 an hour. Those are the hurting people I see. And, I mean, I think about them. Very fortunate to have a job at Fisher Body, or even though... Well, I can tell you that RSDC, whatever it is, that steel, my son works there. They're UAW. But top pay is $12.
Okay.
So you see, not all UAW is the same as you have it here, General Motors.
Good point. My last question is, how do you feel about this plant closing here and us getting ready to open up?
Oh, it was heartbreaking to see it go. It was part of our life. It had been here. And the first thing I asked about was the coach. Well, I guess they have that. Because that's the first thing. I have a medallion thing with the coach on it, the stem. I'm going to get a, it was on a charm bracelet. But I'm going to get a bale put on it so I can wear it as a necklace. That's the first thing I asked for. Oh, what did they do with the coach? Because that was always a landmark. That Fisher Body here, that coach, was out there on that front on Verlinden. Mm-hmm. That was sad when they took that down.
Yes,
and now they're going to crumple the, I understand, bulldoze this building. Well, I don't know if Art, if it can be possible, but Art and I have talked and said something about getting bricks, doing something with them, and that'll help build a new building. Mm-hmm. You know, buying those bricks.
Yeah.
And have a brick of the old, like having a brick of your old homestead, you know.
That's true.
It was kind of sad when they were on TV and closing it down. And, well, you hated to see it go. Even though you know it's old and the new one will be much nicer. But it won't be the same. It won't be the same. There will not be the camaraderie. Well, let's just hope that the products sell.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.